for a new government Tuesday. More from correspondent Mark Levy.
There's a lot at stake in Israel's election, but the campaign has been the calmest in decades. Israelis seem tired out by last month's offensive in the Gaza Strip. That operation appears to be having its effects on the voting patterns. Hardline parties are on the upswing. More Israelis than before believe force is the way to deal with Arabs. That could produce a new government that clashes with peace efforts by the Obama administration. Mark Levy, Jerusalem.
The chairman of the Joint Chiefs says he doesn't see the number of U.S. troops in Afghanistan growing much beyond the 30,000 additional troops that are to be deployed in the coming months. Admiral Mike Mullen made the comments to soldiers at Fort Drum in New York. An estimated 33,000 troops are currently in Afghanistan. President Barack Obama was asked a tough question during a town hall meeting in Elkhart, Indiana. White House correspondent Mark Smith reports.
One woman he called on said, "You ask us to trust you, but what about your nominees?"
"Those that you have pointed to your cabinet are not trustworthy and can't handle their own budget and taxes."
Amid a smattering of boos, the president called it a legitimate question, but said Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner and others who've paid back taxes had made honest mistakes.
"If you're not going to appoint anybody who's ever made a mistake in your life, then you're not going to have anybody taking your job."
But he adds it was a mistake to allow even the appearance of a double standard on paying taxes. Mark Smith with the president, Elkhart, Indiana.
New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg is thanking the pilot and crew of U.S. Airways Flight 1549 for preventing an awful tragedy when they ditched in the Hudson River last month. Describing them as five real American heroes, Bloomberg presented Sully Sullenberg and his crew with keys to the city. A former president of the Southern Baptist Convention says he's honored to be part of a diverse group of advisors to President Barack Obama's revamped White House faith-based office. AFN's Ali Martin has more.
Dr. Frank Page served 2 years as SBC president and was recently asked to be on an advisory council for the White House Office of Faith-Based and Neighborhood Partnerships. President Obama says the revamped office will be a resource for faith-based and secular groups as they work in their communities. Dr. Page says he was surprised at the invitation to join the council. He says he will provide expertise and opinion from a conservative evangelical standpoint.
"The president seems at this point to be very open to divergent opinions. And for example, one of the things on this council is they want to find ways to reduce abortions. Well, I'm all for that. They want to find a way to raise the level of understanding about the need for fatherhood to be taken seriously. Well, I'm all for that too. So I hope I can help."
Dr. Page is pastor of First Baptist Church of Taylor's, South Carolina. I'm Ali Martin.
Parentalrights.org has launched a campaign to amend the U.S. Constitution. AFN's Pete Chagnon has that story.
It is believed that Secretary of State Hillary Clinton will soon recommend that the U.N. Convention on the Rights of the Child Treaty be incorporated into U.S. law. Jim Bentley is the executive director of Parentalrights.org. He says the treaty is an assault on parental rights, and that is why his organization is launching a campaign aimed at amending the U.S. Constitution in order to protect parental rights. Bentley says a large grassroots effort will be needed to accomplish the task.
"So we designed what we call a 10-2 program. Rather than just sending out the typical list of petitions, we're going to ask people to sign up as a 10-2 rep.
As a 10-2 rep, one will be asked to get 10 petition signatures, get 3 postcards signed, one for their congressman and one for each state senator, letting them know that someone has signed in favor of the amendment. Reps will also ask for a dollar donation from every person signing the petition and then recruit 2 more people to start the process all over again."
It was designed for simplicity. It was designed as a way that people could look at it and say, wow, this is not an open-ended type of commitment. This is a very specific thing that I can do. We expect it to take the average person 2 to 4 hours.
More information on the 10-2 campaign and the amendment to protect parental rights in the U.S. can be found at parentalrights.org. In the history of the Constitution, only 27 amendments have been ratified. I'm Pete Chagnon.
And that is American Family News to the Hour. I'm Chad Rome.
Fight the fight. We are here to equip you. Because you love the truth, LibertyRadioLive.com.
You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program. I'm Nicholas, the host. These days we're going through the scripture and continuing. We've done the first five books of Moses, and we're moving on to Joshua today. We've done the first five books of Moses in the past. You'll find them posted there at my website. Of course, in between those books, we've done other books of the scripture, some of the New and some of the Old Testament. But to continue the narrative from the beginning is, well, it's a good way to read it at least once. I think everyone should read the narrative of from creation through as far as you can get through the Old Testament, as long as the narrative lasts. And Joshua just follows after the five first books of Moses, much as you might read a novel. You could read the first books of the Old Testament to get the whole story from creation to the setting up of national Israel in the land and what happened from that point on. Anyway, we're with Joshua after they had crossed over. They're looking at Jericho. All of the inhabitants of the land are now very afraid, because for 4 years they had heard about how the Yahuwah, the God of the Hebrews, had dried up the Red Sea so that the children of Israel could escape Egypt's armies, and how all of Egypt's armies and chariots and men of war had drowned in that Red Sea. And then they heard how the children of Israel had conquered the nations on the other side of the Jordan, this wandering nation in the wilderness. And now they see, I mean, they're already afraid that they're just coming near the Jordan, but now they see that the Jordan is dried up, and that's a sign to them that that it's not going to be well with them, just as it wasn't well, that the God of Israel is still quite active, fighting before and for his people, Israel. So that's where we're at. Joshua here talking about how 40 years, they walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war that came out of Egypt were consumed because they obeyed not the voice of Yahuwah. And that's Joshua chapter 5 and verse 6. They didn't obey his voice, unto whom he swore that he would not show them the land which he swore to their fathers that he would give us, the land that floweth with milk and honey. So they didn't see it. They all perished in the wilderness except for two, and those two were, and of course they're the men of war. That means that their children might live to see it. So, but all those men who were of age to war perished there, except for, of course, Caleb and Joshua, who were the only ones who survived of that generation to pass over the Jordan. It says, their children, whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their place in the camp until they were whole. So they all had to heal. And Yahuwah said to Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. And of course, what does Gilgal mean? Well, I guess it has something to do with removing the reproach. Chapter 5, verse 10, and the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. So the Passover they kept on the 14th day. It was the 10th day when they had finished passing over, the 10th day of the first month, when they had finished passing over the Jordan. They did, and they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched cakes in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn, and actually the corn would be grain or meal of some sort, of the land. Neither had the children of Israel any manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. So they had, for that 40 years, had been supplied with manna. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him, with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the hosts of Yahuwah, I am now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of Yahuwah's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy feet, for the place whereupon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. And I'll give you a good clue as to who this captain of Yahuwah's host is. Who else would it be? Who else would receive worship? An angel would tell him, No, don't worship. I'm a servant too. If it was a man, he would have stopped. I'm your fellow servant. No, this would be pre-incarnate Mashiach, the Messiah pre-incarnate. That's what I would hold to here. Chapter 6 and verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in, and they locked their city up tight. And Yahuwah said to Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And you shall compass the city, all you men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. So they're to go around the city 6 days, and once each day for 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass, when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of Yahuwah. And he said unto the people, Pass on and compass the city, and let them that are armed pass on before the ark of Yahuwah. And before I move on, there's a little debate going on, and I say it's a little debate because not many people even realize there is a debate. And of course, it has to do with the Sabbath, and how could the children of Israel work on the Sabbath day? And I don't really have a problem here. You could fight on the Sabbath day. You could defend yourself on the Sabbath day. There's not a problem. I don't consider warfare work. So that whole debate is kind of moot for me, because when it comes to warfare, it is not work. It is not servile labor. It is in a class all by itself. Warfare is not servile work that has anything to do with the Sabbath. So for me, that idea there puts that debate to rest. So as far as using this 7-day thing as part of the debate for when the Sabbath is and so forth, it doesn't even fit in, because warfare is not work. You were to warfare on the Sabbath. You didn't have, if you're in the middle of a war, you didn't say, okay, well, our enemies are going to war on us this day, but we can't war because it's the Sabbath. No. Warfare is the same as, is much more important than pulling your ox out of a ditch. And if you were allowed to pull your ox out of a ditch, your ox was your means of livelihood. So the applicability of the ox in the ditch, it can be far reaching. If you have to save your livelihood, on the Sabbath, well, then you were allowed to do that. You were supposed to do it. It would be a great neglect if you did not do it. So whatever your ox is, if it falls into a ditch on the Sabbath, you better pull it out. And some people, I would dare say, even need to work on the Sabbath because they'll lose their livelihood if they don't. But let each man stand and live and judge according to his conscience, because many people have for a livelihood things they should not be doing anyway, and they need to trust in the Heavenly Father by letting go of those things and trusting that He will provide for them. But that's a whole other topic. So it shall come to pass, and we read that, Joshua the son of Nun called the priests, said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant, and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of Yahuwah. Chapter 6 and verse 7. And he said to the people, pass on and pass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the Ark of Yahuwah. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns passed on before Yahuwah the Lord and blew the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. And the men and the armed men went before the priests that blew the trumpets, and the rearward came after the Ark, and the priests going on and blowing the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, You shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then you shall shout. So the Ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came to camp and lodged in the camp. So that was one day. They went around once, and they were silent, except for the priests and, the noise of their going around. And Joshua rose early in the morning. The priests took up the Ark of the Lord, even seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns, before the Ark of the Lord, went on continually and blew the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, and the rearward came after dark, after the Ark of the Lord, and the priests going on and blowing the trumpets. And you could imagine what it was like for 6 days, this going on, what it was like for the people inside the city watching this. Fear and trembling. And perhaps after a few days, they might have relaxed, going, oh, they're just going to march around and blow their trumpets. So the second day, they compassed the city once. They marched around it once and returned to the camp. And so they did 6 days. Chapter 6, verse 15. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner seven times. Only on that day they compassed the city seven times instead of one. And it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priest blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for Yahuwah hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to Yahuwah. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are within her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And you, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves a curse when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. Of course, what was the accursed thing? It was the abominations of the people of the land and their idolatries. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto Yahuwah, and they shall come into the treasury of Yahuwah. And the people shouted, and the priest blew with the trumpet. And it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the walls fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she has, as you swore unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire, and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron, they put into the treasury of the house of Yahuwah. So they just heaped up everything, everybody, every animal, every man, woman, and child, all of the wood, everything, except for the gold and the silver and the brass. And they heaped it all up, and they put it all on fire. The city utterly destroyed and burned. They burnt the city with fire. Chapter 6 and verse 25, And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had, and she dwelled in Israel, even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent out to spy out Jericho. And Joshua adjured them at the time, saying, Cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this day this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest shall he set the gates thereof. So the Lord, so Yahuwah was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. And what he was saying was, anyone who attempts to rebuild Jericho will do it the peril of their own offspring. That's what he said. That was the curse that he placed on Jericho and anyone who attempted to rebuild it. Of course, there would be no one left to rebuild it, would there? Chapter 7, verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of Yahuwah was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spoke unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, and chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of Yahuwah until the eventide. And he and the elders of Israel put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, come, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us to the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? That was a question. Would to God that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us round, and cut us off and our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And Yahuwah said unto Joshua, Get thee up, wherefore liest thou upon thy face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. So this word to dissemble is to, they have dealt falsely. Someone has taken something that didn't belong to them, basically. So let's find out what happened here. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed thing from among you. up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, for thus saith Yahuwah, God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee. O Israel, thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which Yahuwah taketh shall come according to the families thereof, and the family which Yahuwah shall take shall come by households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zerahites, and he brought the family of the Zerahites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan the son of Camri, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to Yahuwah, God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done, hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against Yahuwah, God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold, and 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. And we'll pick up here when we get back from this break.
Fight the fight. We are here to equip you because you love the truth. LibertyRadioLive.com.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Who will tell them if not you?
Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773.
Now listen to me.
FlyingEagleGold.com says don't buy the sizzle of that steak until you understand the cost. In other words, don't buy the hype being dispensed by the rare coin pitchman over the alternative media until you understand the full story. Jeffrey Bennett has been a purveyor of wealth protection, gold and silver bullion, and rare collectible coins for over 17 years. His personal experience reaches back to 1958. FlyingEagleGold.com offers the most private, non-confiscable gold and silver coinage in the world at a very competitive cost. And Jeffrey takes personal pride in putting your interests ahead of all else. You're invited to call Flying Eagle Gold at 623-327-1778. That's 623-327-1778 for the truth about protecting your wealth. Join Jeffrey Bennett each day, Monday through Friday, when he hosts right here on LibertyRadioLive.com. The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately, and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program. I'm Nicholas, and my website is crosstheborder.org. These days we're going through the scripture, and we're in the book of Joshua, moving along at a good clip here, following the storyline here. They had taken the city of Jericho and moved on, and became afraid because someone had taken the accursed thing. Someone had stolen and disobeyed the commandment of Yahuwah, and that they were not supposed to save anything, especially for themselves. And they found the culprit, and Achan answer Joshua in chapter 7 and verse 20. He said, "Indeed, I have sinned against Yahuwah, God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold, and 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them, and took them, and beheld, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it." So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent, and behold, it was hid in the tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out in the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before Yahuwah. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, the wedge of gold, and the sons and daughters, and his oxen, and his ass, and his sheep, his tent, and all that he had, and brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day." And all Israel stoned him with stones, and burned them with fire, after they had stoned them with stones. That's pretty harsh punishment for theft, is it not? And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place is called the Valley of Achor to this day, unto this day. Chapter 8 and verse 1. And Yahuwah said to Joshua, "Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and rise up and go to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land." And I just have to stop and comment here for a minute that the punishment in the scripture for theft is not stoning to death. Now, the reason that the punishment was so heavy in this instance is because it was a war crime that he committed. He had stolen from God that which he wasn't supposed to take, and he had been warned with all the people that they would be accursed. And of course, the loss was the responsibility of 36 men were on this man for what he did, because they lost those 36 men in their first assault on Ai, and he was responsible for the lives of those 36 men. So he and his family paid with their lives for those lives. It wasn't just an incident of theft, because as we know from the law, that theft was not a capital crime. So that's why the punishment was so harsh in this instance, because it was not just the crime of theft under an ordinary circumstance. It was a crime where he put in jeopardy the lives of many, yes, and 36 men lost their lives because of his disobedience against the direct order and warning of the Creator. So while he was supposed to take that booty, of course, he wasn't supposed to keep the Babylonian garment. That was supposed to be destroyed in the fire. The only thing that they were supposed to take was the silver and the gold and the brass. And of course, they were to bring those things into the treasury of Yahuwah. Those things belonged to the Lord himself, to the Creator himself, to the God of Israel. And so he stole those things. And because of his disobedience, he brought the curse on the army of Israel, that God said, if you bring anything, if you touch the accursed thing, and that touching accursed thing, of course, referred to disobedience to the instruction of their chief commander, who of course was Joshua, who of course was Yahuwah himself. So that was the reason for the harsh punishment there. The lives of 36 men. And also, this was a lesson for all the children of Israel, and one that you would hope they would never forget. So let's continue here in chapter 8 and verse, okay, verse 3, oh, verse 2. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou did to Jericho and her king, only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof you shall take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee in ambush for the city behind it. So this time the instruction is a little different. They were to take the cattle and the spoil for themselves. And of course that would be all measured out equally, you know, by whatever measure they would measure it out. So Joshua rose and all the people of war go up to Ai against Ai, and Joshua chose out 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. And he commanded them, saying, behold, you shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city. Go not very far from the city, but be ye all ready. And I and all the people that are with me will approach unto the city, and it shall come to pass when they come out against us, as at the first, that we will flee before them. For they will come out after us till we have drawn them from the city. For they will say, they flee before us as at the first, therefore we will flee before them. Then ye shall rise up from the ambush and seize upon the city, for Yahuwah your God will deliver it into your hand. And it shall be, when you have taken the city, that you shall set the city on fire according to the commandment of Yahuwah. And you shall you do. See, I've commanded you. And Joshua therefore sent them forth, and they went to lay an ambush and abode between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai. But Joshua lodged that night among the people. And Joshua rose up early in the morning and numbered the people and went up, and he and the elders of Israel before the people of Ai, and all the people, even the people of war that were with him, went up and drew nigh and came before the city and pitched on the north side of Ai. Now there was a valley between them and Ai, and he took about 5,000 men and set them to lay an ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. And when they had set the people, even all the hosts that was on the north of the city, and their liers in wait on the west of the city, Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley. And it came to pass, when the king of Ai saw it, that they hasted and rose up early, and the men of the city went out against Israel to battle, he and all the people at the appointed time before the plain. But he knew not that there were liers in ambush against him behind the city. And Joshua and all Israel made as if they were beaten before them and fled by the way of the wilderness. And all the people that were with Ai called together to pursue after them, and they pursued after Joshua. And when they were drawn away from the city, and there was not a man left in Ai or Bethel that went not out after Israel, and they left the city open and pursued after Israel. And the Lord said unto Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in thy hand toward Ai, for I will give it to your hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city. And the ambush arose quickly out of their place, and they ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand. And they entered the city and took it, and hasted to set the city on fire. And when the men of Ai looked behind them, they saw, and behold, the smoke of the city ascended up to heaven, and they had no power to flee this way or that way, and the people fled to the wilderness and turned back upon the pursuers. So those that they were pursuing turned back on them. And when Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city and that the smoke of the city ascended, then they turned again and slew the men of Ai. And let me see. Ai. So I guess it's really Ai or Ajath. Well, I guess I don't know. I've got 6 or 8 different pronunciations here for Ai. And it's simply spelled Ai. So I'm going to go ahead and stick with that one. And the other issued out of the city against them, so that they were in the midst of Israel, some on this side and some on that, and they smote them, and they let none of them remain or escape. So they were completely compassed about, all of the men of the city, with Israel on both sides, and they killed every single one of them. And the king of Ai they took alive and brought him to Joshua. And it came to pass, when Israel had made an end of slaying all of the inhabitants of Ai in the field and in the wilderness where they chased them, and when they were fallen on the edge of the sword until they were consumed, that all the Israelites turned unto Ai and smote it with the edge of the sword. And so it was that all that fell that day, both of men and women, were 12,000, even all the men of Ai. For Joshua drew not his hand back, wherewith he stretched out the spear, until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants, only the cattle and the spoil of that city Israel took for a prey unto themselves, according to the word of Yahuwah, which commanded Joshua. And Joshua burnt Ai, and made it a heap forever, even a desolation unto this day. And many people would like to bring an accusation against the God of the Old Testament commanding the children of Israel to go in and utterly destroy these cities, every man, woman, and child. And they bring an accusation. How could a God of love destroy that? And especially the children. Oh, the children. Well, the truth is, He is the giver of life. He can give life. He can take life away. And blessed be His name. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of Yahuwah. And because the truth is, He takes everyone's life. And that's one way of looking at it. But the truth is, He gives everyone life. And I've discussed this often, how that when Adam and Eve ate that forbidden fruit and they received their death sentence, they deserved to die that day. Yes, they did. But their Creator gave them grace, a grace period, that they didn't die that day. Well, they received a death sentence that day. That much is sure, because He said, "You shall surely die." And every one of us is born with that death sentence. For you see, we all shall surely die. We all are born with that same death sentence. And that is the grace of God, that we live. So who are we who have received the grace of God to bring an accusation against the Creator? He brought Israel's enemies against them. Yes, the other heathen nations, for their disobedience. We saw that 36 were slain for the sin of a man. And perhaps it was more than just the sin of one man, because perhaps someone helped him. And we're not given those details. But that sin was laid on that one man, and his whole family suffered. His wife and his children suffered for that. They suffered death, the punishment for the murder of 36 men who died in battle because of his disobedience. Now, we're nobody to bring an accusation against our Creator. The innocent die all the time. And, you know, these are the ones who would bring the accusation. Well, they're the same ones who murder their own children in the womb. Who are they, you know, to bring an accusation against the Creator, who has a right to give life and who has a right to take it, where they don't have the right to take it, and they don't have the power to give it. They have the power to let live, but they murder instead. These are the very ones who would bring an accusation against the Creator Himself. No, Israel was commanded. You know, and there's one way, and that is he rose up heathen kings and the ungodly against His people for their idolatry, that is Israel for their idolatry. And they were the sword of the Lord. They were a sword in His hand. He wielded them whichever way He wanted, regardless of what they thought their purpose was. And they were idolaters. And the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, he was an idolater. He had little regard, even though the Heavenly Father, Creator, had given him a dream and told him all things. And he took that dream. He wasn't satisfied with just the head of gold, the position that he held. He wanted to build the whole image of gold, and he wanted everyone to worship it. See, he was an idolater. And that idolatry, well, tends towards self-worship. I will be my own lawmaker. I will do what I want to do. It's not God's law. It's not the Creator's law. I will decide what I want to do. They create God in their own image. So just to answer the accusation of those that would bring an accusation against the Creator, if He commanded Israel, He has the right to command the absolute destruction of an idolatrous people and punish them and their descendants and their children if it pleases Him for their sin. Because the truth is, He's already punished them. We've already all been born with that death sentence. And it came to pass when Israel had made an end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field and wilderness wherein they chased them. And see, they were being obedient. They were afraid to be disobedient. That's right. They had the fear of God in them. And that fear was justified too, because they saw what happened to Achan because he disobeyed. They were not going to be quick to disobey again, knowing that if they were caught disobeying, and they surely would be caught, Achan was caught, though he had hidden everything very well. Nobody seemed to know much, or at least nobody was saying anything. They had the fear of God. They were going to do exactly what He said. And if He said, slay every man, woman, and child, and burn everything except for the gold, the silver, and the brass, and the flocks, those you can keep. And then you divide those up as is right. And so that's what they did. They had made an end, and it came to pass, chapter 8, verse 24, and it came to pass when Israel had made an end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field and wilderness, wherever they chased them, when they were all fallen on the edge of the sword, until they were consumed, that all the Israelites returned unto Ai and smote it with the edge of the sword. And it was that all that fell that day, both men and women, were 12,000, and all of the men, even all of the men of Ai. For Joshua drew not his hand back, wherein he stretched out his spear until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. For Joshua drew, only the cattle and the spoil of the city Israel took for a prey unto themselves according to the word of Yahweh which he commanded Joshua. And Joshua burnt Ai and made it a heap forever, even a desolation unto this day. And the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree until eventide. And as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his carcass down from the tree and cast it at the entering of the gate of the city and raise thereon a great heap of stones that remaineth unto this day. Then Joshua built an altar unto Yahuwah, God of Israel, in Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones, over which no man hath lifted up any iron. And they offered thereon burnt offerings unto Yahuwah, and sacrificed peace offerings. And he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. And basically this is also an indictment against this is the judgment against the inhabitants of the land, the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments. This is the indictment of their punishment. Much like when Rome crucified men, it would write their indictment on a tablet over their heads when they crucified them. So much in the same way, they wrote the law of God. And they planted it in the land, and they removed those people that were lawbreakers and had no regard for the law of their Creator. And all Israel and their elders and officers and their judges stood on this side of the ark and on that side before the priests, the Levites, which bore the ark of the covenant of Yahuwah, as well as the stranger, as he that was born among them. And you'll see that they include as well as the stranger. Now, who is the stranger? As he that was born among them. They allowed foreigners to integrate into the nation of Israel, but they had to become as one of them. It was like, in speaking of foreigners, of course, we had Rahab and her father and her mother and her and whatever kin that she brought in. They became Israelites. They were circumcised. They became as one of them. And they started to follow. They did not bring, I mean, there was no multiculturalism going on here. There is no multiculturalism allowed at all, whatsoever. You either integrated into the Hebrew society or you were not in it at all. They did not bring outsiders in. People had to come on their own and they had to worship the God of Israel. They had to be totally integrated in to the nation Israel. And so that's why they are called the strangers, as he that was born among him, the strangers that dwell among you. They become integrated, holy. They don't bring in their culture and their worship and their religions. No, that would not be allowed at all. That does not work. It won't work here. It certainly couldn't work there. So anyway, half of them over against Mount Gerizim, and half of them over against Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of Yahuwah, of the Lord, had commanded them before that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterward, he read all the words of the law, the blessings and the cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. And there was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them. And looks like that's where we'll end today with chapter 8. We'll continue in chapter 9 of Joshua next time. Remember, in everything you say and do, also remember, there's nothing more important than you cross the border into the kingdom of our Heavenly Father and live forever. His is the only kingdom that will never end. Hallelujah.